Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open, just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
It is time to dive into the matchup in Athens, Georgia between Alabama and the Georgia Bulldogs. Alabama has won 9 out of the last 10 meetings against the Bulldogs. However, Alabama has not traveled or played in Athens, Georgia since 2015, and that day they won 38-10. We are about to be joined by Wes Blankenship, who is a Georgia content creator, and Joe Gaither of Bama Central will join us on this edition of the Stingray Show to do a preview of Sic'em Dogs in Georgia versus Roll Tide of Alabama.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out, you're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, we want to welcome you inside another edition of the Stingray Show. And for those of you here on Tide 100.9, thank you guys for staying tuned after Hey Coach this evening for us to preview Georgia and Alabama. And like I just said off the open, the last time the Georgia Bulldogs took on Alabama in Athens was 2015. So it's been a while since they have played at Georgia's home field between the hedges. To do a breakdown of Georgia, here is Wes Blankenship, the Georgia content creator. Wes, how are things with you as we sit here awaiting the Tide, getting ready to travel over to Athens?
Stingray, appreciate you having me, bud. Things are going well. It's nice and warm here in Athens, Georgia, but I know Saturday night could be dipping down into the 60s. Nice 7:30 kick between the hedges. I'm already excited about the thought of that, man. So big week around here. And I think it would be a lot more exciting. There'd be much more of a buzz in the air if the Dogs had had more success against Bama in recent years.
Yes.
Wes, looking at this game, and I want to look at the offense for Georgia. I know Georgia fans have just been super critical over the offensive coordinator, over the play calling for several years. What's going on with this Georgia offense? It used to be a dominant running team. It used to throw the ball all over the yard, and now it's kind of like a game management offense. Now, hey, win's a win, and when you're winning, I don't want to change too much, but what's going on with this Georgia offense? And Are we just going to expect it to be game managing all season long, or are they actually going to explode at some time?
They put up 44 points to Tennessee.
In overtime, yeah. But that Tennessee secondary is a joke. It's everyone's thrown on that Tennessee secondary.
They still did it, though, right?
They did. But
Gunnar Stockton had a pretty good day.
He had an okay day. He did. But Gunnar Stockton is not, I would say, in the top half of quarterbacks in the SEC this season.
I mean, do you have the numbers?
I do have the numbers.
Here's what I'm getting at.
I'm asking you, what's going on with this Georgia offense? Is it ever going to be massive like it once was?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with the question. And I'm having a hard time with Georgia fans that are being critical of Mike Bobo by default. Because, like I said, they scored 44 points on the road in the SEC. I don't care how bad the secondary is. If you go up there and do that in Knoxville, you're doing something right. And Mike Bobo and his decisions to run up the middle and, you know, third and Bobo, all this stuff, we've heard it for years. It's a knee-jerk reaction. Look back at the last three SEC games Georgia's played. Actually, the last three games outside of, you know, their season openers against lesser opponents. Tech, Texas, and now Tennessee. They win in overtime, and they win by running it right up the middle, right down the defensive line's throats. So it's still part of their identity. It's still something they can do. Right now, though, it's a personnel issue. I mean, if you want to compare it to offenses of Georgia past, I mean, you don't have Zamir White. You don't have James Cook. Cook right now is one of the best running backs in the NFL. So you have to look at who's departed and who's left. Starting running back Nate Frazier's really struggled with fumbles and ball security, so they can't fully trust him. But I think you see Josh McCray, who they picked up from Illinois, won the game for them against Tennessee. I mean, he's a goal line bruising back. That was a solution that Georgia really needed to have with some red zone issues last year. And this offensive line, look, Carson Beck transferred for a reason, and he made a phenomenal business decision. But for people to say that Georgia's offensive line was terrible last year, you know, they're also not looking at the full picture. Look at what Tate Ratledge is doing right now in Detroit as a rookie. Dominant dude. Wasn't healthy last year. And so many of Georgia's pieces at offensive line were not healthy last year. This year, they're not experienced. So this game is won up front, both sides of the ball. Kirby has excelled at that since he's been at Georgia. And until those guys get a lot more reps, I think it's going to be really difficult for Georgia to just line them up and dominate like people are used to.
Okay, Wes, I want to talk about the other side of the football, because with Tennessee, the last four meetings, they had held Tennessee to 17 total points per game. Then they give up 41 and almost 500 yards of offense to Tennessee. Talk about what you've seen from the defensive side for this Georgia Bulldog football team.
Yeah, I do want to make a note. Go back. Gunnar Stockton, according to ESPN's QBR, is number two in the SEC, which is pretty dang good. On the defensive side of the ball,
great.
Georgia's pass rush has gotta step it up.
Yeah.
And it's easy to look back at the years of Jordan Davis, years of Jalen Carter past, and say, like, man, what's going on with Georgia? Like, why don't they have that guy? Well, he hit the portal and has hit the portal, I think, three times now, Bear Alexander.
Yeah.
That was the guy that they were building that foundation upon for years ahead, and he's no longer there. So now it's very much a defensive line by committee, wave after wave after wave, and those guys just aren't all the game wreckers that the Dogs are used to. Yeah. I think the other factor about that Tennessee game that I haven't heard many people talk about, most of the time Georgia plays Tennessee in November.
Yes.
And Kirby Smart's had an opportunity to look at what Josh Heupel's doing for the year and kind of figure out how he wants to attack it and shut it down. He's been pretty successful. I think this year's the first time that Josh Heupel has either met or exceeded his statistical averages versus other defenses that he played when they played Georgia. So amazing performance from Tennessee in that game. And I'm not totally saying that Georgia and the secondary doesn't have things to work on, because good Lord, they do. Ellis Robinson, I mean, I think I've heard some people call him Ellis Island because everybody's getting through. And in that secondary right now, he's got to figure out and remember what he was doing to become that five-star number one overall prospect that he was coming out of high school. I think there was some bad technique. There were some mistakes against Tennessee's receivers that were just – I mean, Brazel was all over the place. That was incredible for him. So the good news for Georgia, they get a bye week to figure things out and get coached up and see what's going on there. But they've got to get more out of guys like K.J. Bolden. They got to get more out of Ellis. I'm impressed with Jonelle Aguero, though. I think that's a guy number eight in Georgia's secondary that lays the wood, knows what his assignments are, and a guy like that's going to be critical against Bama on Saturday.
So we are up against our first break of the evening. When we come back on the other side of this break, we are going to exclusively dive into the matchup Saturday night there in Athens, Georgia, between the Bulldogs and the Crimson Tide. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227. To schedule an appointment to build your financial security, the Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's a 7-minute drive. Watch for some slowing on westbound McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker. It's a 13-minute drive. Crews are doing work on McWright's Ferry Road. It's being extended down to Rice Mine Road. Watch for construction on Skyland Boulevard between I-359 and Buttermilk Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We are doing a preview of Georgia and Alabama. That is a marquee, huge matchup early in this football season. It will take place Saturday night under the lights between the hedges there in Athens, Georgia. Wes Blankenship, the Georgia creator, Georgia content creator, as they say now, is our guest this evening. And Wes, briefly, talk about how Kirby Smart and Georgia has used and has made Sanford Stadium and Between the Hedges an incredible place to play, because they have not lost a football game there at home since 2019.
Yeah, I was at that game. It was against South Carolina, went to overtime.
Yeah.
And Rodrigo Blankenship missed a kick. No relation to me. Right. And I'm not saying that because he missed that kick. I think Rod's awesome.
Right.
Just kind of reminding people who the players were when that happened. And look, man, that atmosphere right now, yes, particularly at night, with the light show that was on display that season against Notre Dame, they broke it out then, has really only gotten better, mm-hmm, more raucous, more hostile. And now they've got pyrotechnics, they've got fireworks. I'm hearing they're going to unveil something else on Saturday night. I'm not really sure what it is yet, but they're going to up the stakes even more that they've kept under wraps. Josh Brooks is amazing. And I give a lot of the credit to Josh Brooks, Georgia's athletics director. Before he took that job, he was really forward-thinking and shook things up in a way that doesn't really happen at Sanford Stadium. He had a country concert in Sanford Stadium with Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan, I believe, was there. And he is pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
Shaking things up. And it's so much like the game itself. If you're not getting better, if you're not reinventing what you do to make your home field a terrifying, hellacious place to play, then you're not keeping up, yes, in the grand scheme of college football. And that's what Sanford Stadium has done. Now, it is going to be tough for Bama. It's going to be really loud in there. And I won't be surprised, though, if Bama, because of the mental aspect of this matchup lately, I think Georgia fans have had a little bit more resilience against other teams that have come in there and hit them in the mouth. Tennessee did it last year at night. Yeah. They scored first, and then Georgia dominated most of the rest of the game. But you know, if Bama goes out there, has an early score, what's everyone going to be thinking in there, including the players?
Oh, here we go again.
100%. So it's going to be a challenge for Georgia's fans to stay energetic and keep that energy going when Bama punches first. I'm not saying they will, but that is definitely an X factor for this game for me. Can Bama take Georgia's crowd out of it early, yeah, because of the recent history and the rivalry?
When you look at this matchup, what concerns you the most from Georgia's perspective where Alabama could take advantage of them?
It's what I mentioned earlier about Georgia's pass rush.
Okay.
Ty Simpson is getting better as the season goes along. They've gotten that embarrassing loss, and I don't even know how embarrassing it was from a scoreboard perspective and the matchup perspective, because it was Florida State, and Florida State's pretty dang good this year. But the bad effort from Bama, they've gotten it out of their system in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And I think if Georgia can't match that effort with their defensive line play, and Ty Simpson's only improved as the season goes along, I think that's a concern. Yeah. And if Georgia hasn't tightened things up in the secondary to go with that, that is my biggest concern. And I think it's the worst case scenario for Georgia.
All right, let's flip it then. Where do you feel like that Georgia potentially could take advantage of Alabama?
The thing I loved the most about Georgia last season, outside of the Ole Miss game, this was a team that never, ever quit.
Right.
Yes, they lost at Bama, and it was really lopsided early, but they had the lead until Ryan Williams,
yes,
reminded everybody that he was a 17-year-old superhero. They went to 8 overtimes against Georgia Tech.
Yep.
And won. The next week, went to overtime with Texas in the SEC championship game and won. They didn't have their starting quarterback against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame made it to the national championship. They just weren't as good as Notre Dame.
Yep.
But that DNA that Georgia has of refusing to quit is, I think, one of the most impressive things that you can have in a team in this day and age of revolving door portal and NIL. Kirby's found a way to continue to have an identity of a team, a culture that refuses to throw in the towel.
Yes.
You saw that in Knoxville. And that factor, it's not as much an X's and O's. It's not a player. It's not a group, a coach. That identity that Georgia has, if they continue to display it, is the thing that I have faith in Georgia in any matchup they're in because of that identity that they have again this season.
What is the X factor in this game? Who's someone that's going to step up on the Georgia defense and the Georgia offense that's going to put this one in the win column if Georgia does win it?
Yeah, I expect that Bama's going to have an answer for Zachariah Branch. He's just put so much on tape. I got to imagine they're going to hone in on him. The one thing that I think Gunnar Stockton needs to have worked on over the bye week is keeping his eyes up downfield when he scrambles. He's missed a lot of those wide open plays. I think it's time for Colby Young to be that play that benefits from that. So on offense, I like Colby Young. And on defense, I like Jonelle Aguero, who I mentioned. So both number eights. Look out for those guys on either side of the ball for the Dogs.
So, Wes, how do you see it playing out Saturday evening there in Athens, Georgia? We talked about they have not lost at home since 2019. Does the streak continue, or does Alabama win again against Georgia and break that streak?
I think Georgia wins, okay. And I'll tell you why. I feel like I'm setting myself up for it's like the Michael Scott GIF, the meme. I'm ready to get hurt all over again, right? But when I look at what these two teams are and what they've been, Bama's been struggling on the road.
Yeah.
Defense is not up to Alabama's standards. Quite yet. Not saying it can't be, but it's not there quite yet. And defense travels, right? But elite defenses, even elite defenses, have a little bit more trouble on the road, statistically speaking. So I think Georgia can take advantage of that. I think that Georgia has taken great advantage of this bye week. They're pretty healthy, which is also important. And like I said, I just love the fact that they never quit. I think it'll be a close one. Maybe Georgia, I'll say 30-27.
Wes, look, man, thank you for taking time to join us. Go and enjoy covering Georgia and Alabama this weekend. Good luck to the Georgia Bulldogs, and we will catch up with you later on to continue to talk about Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs.
Hey, we got the Dogs at the Dogs later on this season. Looking forward to it, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Good weekend.
Hey, Wes, I want to give you props, too. Thank you for taking up for Mike Bobo. The Georgia fans ride him so hard, and I'm glad that you stood up and said what you did here in the interview with that, because I don't think he gets enough credit. He gets plenty of criticism. Oh, my gosh, the poor man gets all kinds of criticism. But you gave him a lot of credit where credit is due.
I just care about facts, and people want to hate a guy's name instead of looking at what he's doing. And that's really all it comes down to for me. I've been plenty critical of him in the past. Don't get me wrong. But for what they've done right now, I think he does deserve more credit for sure.
There you go.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, Wes.
All right. So, guys, that is going to put a wrap on the Georgia side of this matchup. When we come back on the other side of this break, the final two segments are going to be with Joe Gaither of Bama Central to do a preview of the Alabama Crimson Tide as they walk into this matchup. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Joe Gaither on deck right after this.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Make some bang into each other.
us Saturday as the Crimson Tide start SEC play against the Georgia Bulldogs. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up with the Georgia portion of this show, and now let's talk about the Alabama side, as Georgia has won 33 straight home games there in Athens, Georgia, dating back to 2019. But here comes Alabama needing a good road win because they have struggled on the road under the Kalen DeBoer era. To talk about this matchup from the Alabama perspective, here is my good friend, and he hosts his own show there on Bama Central, Joe Gaither. Joe, how are things with you as we sit here awaiting the Alabama and Georgia matchup?
Oh, things are great, Stingray. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited for a big weekend, excited for Alabama to start SEC play, and excited to see if the Crimson Tide can answer some questions this weekend.
Are you making a trip over to Athens?
We're sending Katie Wyndham. We're sending Hunter Seiver and Will Miller for the trio. I am at home, on home base, making sure all the articles get posted in the right place, because I'll have the good internet. They'll be on the stadium Wi-Fi.
Now, Joe, I want to take a step back to yesterday briefly. There was a huge scare for the Alabama Crimson Tide and one of their veterans, linebacker Latham. What is the latest that you can give us an update on Latham, please?
Coach Kalen DeBoer was just on the SEC coaches teleconference call and said that, yes, he is up at UAB, but does have all his extremities and movement and such, and said that he exchanged some text messages today with Jamarian. When we arrived at the facility, they kind of gave us a, hey, you guys need to go off to the side so we can handle this, and we knew that something big was happening or something scary was kind of happening. They put out the statement later in the evening that Jamarian Latham had a neck injury and was at UAB, but it sounds like he avoided maybe the scariest situation for neck injuries. I'd say the timeline for his recovery is undetermined, but very positive that he's got movement in all his extremities and is responsive, and I think he's going to be okay with a little bit of recovery time ahead.
And Joe, all of our thoughts and prayers are definitely with him with that scary situation. And of course, the players and the coaches that had to see that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a strange thing. I mean, like I said, when we walked up, we had some athletic staff basically pointing us to go off to the side, and I could tell something was up, and there was just a little sense of urgency, which there always is with neck injuries. I mean, I think that's a scary situation, and I'm very glad that so far it seems like that's going to be avoiding the worst-case scenario.
All right, so we all saw the issues with Alabama against Florida State. With the Wisconsin game, what were the positives that you took away, and what are some negatives that you still have a concern about going into the bye week and this game versus Georgia?
I guess my biggest positive from the Wisconsin game was Ryan Williams getting back in action. Obviously, you manufactured a couple of touches for him, especially with the big screen play out of halftime. But then you ended up getting a ball downfield, kind of a slot fade, where he just made an absolute play on the defensive back and scored a touchdown. So I think you got Ryan's confidence back to a degree. I think that you really liked the way that Ty Simpson distributed the football and hung in the pocket and really delivered the football. But my biggest concern or question or thing that I didn't love about the game is just the quality of competition. I think that Wisconsin is pretty bad. I think that they're going to end up in the bottom end of the Big Ten. And so all the questions from week one about Alabama's toughness on defense, I mean, yeah, you held Wisconsin to 14 points and seven of them came on a kickoff return and the other seven was late in the game. I think the questions from week one about the toughness on defense, the ability to pursue to the football and stop the run is still there. And look, even through 3 weeks, despite ULM and Wisconsin being less than stellar competition, Alabama's really, really struggled running the football with consistency. And so that's a huge concern of mine going into this game with Georgia.
Joe, looking at this game, what is one thing that Georgia will probably have success executing on Alabama? What's one thing that no one can stop this Georgia offense or defense from doing?
I think the Georgia offense does a really good job through three games of being pretty multiple in the run game, using all the running backs that they have. Obviously, Nate Frazier with the headliner, but this Dwight Phillips young man is a bit of a burner. And they get Gunnar Stockton involved in the run game as well, not as frequently as Alabama did with Jalen Milroe, but in third and shorts, fourth and shorts, in the red zone, they're using Gunnar Stockton's legs. And I think that the questions from the first week going up against Florida State and obviously their run scheme with Gus Malzahn really showed that Alabama's got some problems in that area. Cade Womack has basically said, we've got some things that we're going to have to answer for, and I think that's what it is. In addition to that, maybe the extra layer to that is the screens, the swing passes that George is going to implement to to Zachariah Branch and to their other playmakers on the outside. I think they're really going to be trying to get the ball moving, Georgia, get the ball moving out of the pocket and really keep the Alabama eyes kind of all over the field, really confusing the Alabama defense. And I think that Alabama's going to have a really hard time generating stops in a traditional fashion in this game.
Joe, when you look at the other side of the ball, you talked about against the first 3 weeks that Alabama has not been able to manufacture a consistent run game. In your opinion, what is the issue and how can they fix that?
Is it Jam Miller being injured?
No, I don't think it's Jam Miller being injured. I think it's more of an issue with the offensive line and really the skill positions around them blocking for the running game. I think Jam's going to help for sure. I think he is a more complete back than what we've seen with Kevin Riley. But Kevin's been fine when he's been able to get a crease. You've got maybe an athleticism issue up front. You might have a little bit of a weight issue up front, not being able to get into the second level of the defenses. I think that Alabama's really struggled moving guys off of the line of scrimmage so far this year. And so you're getting a lot of stalemates, and really that's allowing linebackers and secondary members. Earl Little Jr. was coming downhill so fast and so hard for Florida State and shutting down the run game. And so really it's been an inability to get your blockers to the second level, and the wide receivers on the outside are not blocking with veracity that you'd like to see that will help spring the run game for big plays.
Yes.
You know, Joe, looking at this, what's one thing that you think Bama will have huge success with against Georgia on either side of the ball?
I think you're going to have success throwing the football down the field, and I think you're going to have success getting after this secondary. I do think you've got a lot of talent in the Georgia secondary. You got a lot of five stars if you just look through the recruiting rankings that's back there. But Tennessee with Chris Brazel, now Brazel's a good player, but you could argue that Ryan is a better player. Ryan Williams is a better player, and you could argue that Alabama's wide receiver core as a whole is better than Tennessee. So Georgia's going to have a hard time just going one-on-one with Ryan Williams and with Jeremy Bernard and Isaiah Horton and even Lozier Brooks. So I think Alabama's wide receiver core has an advantage going up against Georgia's secondary. It's going to be up to the offensive line if they can protect Ty Simpson and give him enough time to deliver the football.
All right, we are up against our final break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to get Joe Gaither's prediction on the game and talk again about the three common opponents for the Alabama Crimson Tide that was announced last night. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will finish it up with Joe Gaither right after this.
Coming up on the game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of the game, we're going to talk to Josh from College Football Nerds. He predicted Alabama to beat Georgia. Why? I'll let him explain. We'll talk to Rodney Orr. He predicted Alabama to beat Georgia. Why? He explains why. Bruce Marshall, our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, he joins us and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. here on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, safety, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's a 7-minute drive. Watch for some slowing on westbound McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker. It's a 13-minute drive. Crews are doing work on McWright's Ferry Road. It's being extended down to Rice Mine Road. Watch for construction on Skyland Boulevard between I-359 and Buttermilk Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Your old pal Spooky here, welcome you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Spook Trail 269. Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
Welcome back, SEC fans. You're listening to the Stingray Show here on Tide 100.9. Tonight, our guest is Joe Gaither. And Stingray and I are talking to Joe about the matchup between the Hedges this weekend with Georgia and Alabama. Joe, the one thing I'd like to know, who's the X factor player for Alabama? Who's someone that no one's talking about outside, you know, a starting quarterback or a leading receiver or a leading rusher? Who's one person that we can see on this Alabama offense being an X factor and helping Alabama to a victory?
On the offensive end, I still think that Jeremy Bernard is an underrated factor, despite him leading the team really through 3 weeks in the receiving game. And a lot of people are really excited for him. But I guess an underrated player is probably Lozier Brooks. I think that the Georgia secondary is going to be pretty keyed in to Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard, and they're going to have good games to keep each other open and to balance the attack on the secondary. But if the secondary is able to keep those two guys under wraps, Alabama's got a true freshman, Lozier Brooks, who looks electric. He broke the New Jersey career record for receiving yards in high school, and really has a lot of similar tendencies to Jalen Waddle. I think he's a really electric type player. And so I think a third receiver, whether it be Lozier Brooks, whether it be Isaiah Horton, or even a Rico Scott. So whoever's going to be filling that third receiver role for Alabama, I think has a real opportunity to make an impact for Alabama's offense.
Who's an X factor on defense for Alabama?
I think everybody's excited to get Tim Keenan back in action, but I wonder how effective he's going to be with his recovery from tightrope surgery. I don't know if he's going to be the real big mean monster that people are expecting him to be. I'm looking at the other defensive linemen. I'm really looking on the edges. We talked about the Georgia running game in the last segment. I think that LT Overton and Quay Russo are going to be really, really important for Alabama's effort, keeping Georgia basically contained in the run game on the edges, but really getting after Gunnar Stockton and being disciplined in their rush lanes. LT over the last year and a half has had a lot of pressure quarterback pressures, but very few quarterback sacks. And so you got to convert the pressures into sacks, and you can't let Gunnar Stockton slip through a crack and rush for six, rush for five, rush for 4 yards. You've got to bring him down when you've got him in the grasp. And so I'm looking at the two edge players, Quay Rousseau at the Wolf and LT Overton at the Bandit position.
So how do you see it playing out Saturday evening between the hedges, Alabama and Georgia? Does Alabama snap the 33-game home win streak versus Georgia, or does it go to 34 straight?
Unfortunately for the Tide 100.9 listeners, I think that Georgia is going to extend its win streak to 34 straight home games, just because I don't have a whole lot of confidence in Alabama's defense stopping Georgia's offense and thus putting pressure on the Alabama offense, who we talked about can't run. It hasn't run the football effectively this year. So it really is going to put a lot of pressure on Ty Simpson, who I like. But if Ty Simpson has to go out there and play fairly perfectly, we'll just say, and match Georgia score for score while Gunnar Stockton is leaning on his skill position players and his offensive line and the run game, I think that the advantage goes to the Georgia Bulldogs. Maybe Alabama's able to manufacture a couple of turnovers. I think Tennessee dropped a few interception opportunities, and I think that, you know, Nate Frazier fumbled against Austin Peay. So if you can turn them over, maybe get a non-traditional stop in that sense, give your offense more possessions, then maybe you can let Ty Simpson, or maybe Ty Simpson can find a way to lead you to victory. But here on a Wednesday, I just think the factors are stacking up too high for Alabama, and yeah, the Crimson Tide's probably going to lose about a 10-point ball game.
Wow. Mm. And as we walk out the door, it was announced last night that the three opponents for Alabama over the next few years will be Tennessee, Alabama, and Mississippi State. Talk about that draw, and especially because Mississippi State has not taken on Alabama in a couple of years in football, them adding back Mississippi State.
I think the SEC office did a really good job with their trio of annual opponents for all 16 teams. I think that there's some teams that have complaints, and really yesterday, once they put out the full slate of 4 years opponents, you heard lots of, well, they screwed us. They got us, they didn't do us right from all
16
the
fan babies.
Right, exactly. And if all 16 fan bases are crying about something, well, I think that you probably got it right from a conference office's perspective. And as it pertains to Mississippi State and not LSU, which is kind of what the sexy pick the fan base wanted, it goes – I mean, I think all you got to do is put your brain on and you'll see why it was picked. First, the closest two SEC programs in the conference, the 108 meetings before, but before they took a little bit of a break the last couple of years. I'm not sure that a lot of Alabama fans have missed playing Mississippi State, and I wouldn't guess that Mississippi State fans have missed playing Alabama, but it just makes perfect sense, especially when you consider the balance of powers in the conference. You're already playing Auburn, who maybe growing under Hugh Freeze, or they may fire, they're such an enigma. Tennessee, playoff team last year, really strong opponent. It might have been out of balance if you were also playing LSU, who college football playoff contender. You've got to work the kind of the whole slate, the whole big picture of the schedule, and I think it makes perfect sense why you would pair Alabama and Mississippi State as annual opponents for the next 4 years. I think I have no complaint for what the SEC did.
So you're saying Mississippi State's homecoming next year, correct?
Mississippi State, I think we're getting South Carolina back here next year. I think that that could definitely be a possibility. They replaced the West Virginia game with East Carolina. That's probably going to be your most likely homecoming matchup.
Joe, look, man, go and enjoy doing all of the prep work for Alabama, Georgia. Enjoy making sure all of the articles are there on Bama Central Saturday. And we will love to catch up with you later on to continue our discussion of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide this weekend.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Heath, that is going to wrap up the Alabama and Georgia preview show. Hope you guys have thoroughly enjoyed it. Heath, briefly, because we've run out of time, how do you see it, Alabama and Georgia? This one is a tough one for me. Georgia has not impressed me, but they have not lost at home since 2019. Alabama cannot consistently run the football. I think with the road woes of Alabama, I've got to give the edge to Georgia because they are playing at home between the hedges in that extremely hostile environment.
I can see that happen. I can see this game going both ways, but I'm going to bring to you what I always bring to every game, Stephen. I'm going to ask you the three questions. Which team has the better quarterback, Alabama or Georgia?
Georgia.
Who has the better head coach, Alabama or Georgia?
Based off the track record overall, I'm going to say Kirby.
You know, Kirby has more national titles.
Yeah.
And who's playing at home?
Georgia.
There you go. If you get two out of three, you lean that way. You got all three. That tells me a little bit of something.
Yep.
But I will say this. I think Alabama is pushing all their cards in. I think the coaching staff knows, and they're going to do absolutely everything possible to win this game.
Yep.
If I had to pick right now, I'm leaning toward Georgia. I haven't made up my mind, but I'm heavily leaning toward Georgia. But I won't be shocked if Alabama wins this one by multiple scores.
So, guys, that is going to put a wrap on the Alabama-Georgia preview show. When we come back on the Thursday evening edition at 6 p.m., we are going to be previewing the Magnolia Bowl. And if you don't know what that is the rivalry between LSU and Ole Miss. That will be on the Thursday evening edition of the Stingray Show. And we will see you then with a preview of LSU and Ole Miss from Oxford, Mississippi. Catch you on Thursday.
That is the ugliest trophy ever for the Magnolia Bowl. It looks like a vacation Bible school project. That thing is ugly.
I did not even know there was a trophy.
See there? They don't even want to.